Welcome to the CLT Podcast, a series all about things related to learning and teaching in higher education, brought to you by the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University. In this episode, we listen to Dave White, Head of Digital Education and Academic Practice from the University of Arts London, and Ian Truelove, Course Director for the BA Illustration and MA Graphic Design at Leeds School of Art, Leeds Beckett University, talking at our annual Developing Excellent Academic Practice Conference. They contemplate a vision of placemaking and presence in higher education as we start to explore beyond COVID-19. Wherever you may be listening from, we hope you enjoy.
Hello everybody, my name is Ian Truelove. I'm course director for the BA Illustration and MA Graphic Design courses here at Leeds Beckett University.
I'm David White and I'm Head of Digital Education and Academic Practice at the University of Arts London. Last year I did the opening keynote. One of the headline themes in that was this idea of a sense of presence. How do we create a sense of presence? We were still dealing with the fact that the pandemic had started. We were still very much in those kind of early days, and so we were really exploring how we could best move from emergency to perhaps something a bit richer. So that's where we were sort of this time last year. We're going to reflect on that and talk about perhaps what we've learned, where the challenges have been, and what we want to hold into, you know, how we set off into the future, having gone through this really extreme experience together. I gave the opening keynote at last year's conference, which was an interesting experience, to say the least.
It was indeed. If you did miss it, I was asking the questions and helping things along. And there was a particular incident that happened.
It's actually now officially called The Incident, isn't it? You guys had done a really good job of bringing me in and talking about the format. And I think there was just this general feeling that rather than it being like a one-way talk, it might be a bit more interactive and have different elements to it. What happened was about two-thirds of the way through, I realized that I'd been disconnected for 4 minutes. So I'd literally just been in my living room talking to no one for 4 minutes.
Was it just 4 minutes? It felt like about 30 hours.
Well, it felt a lot longer for you because you were holding the fort. So you were left there going, well, Dave seems to have vanished.
He should have disappeared somewhere.
I'm in my room going. So another interesting factor about digital learning. And my main recollection was the feeling of utter mortification when I realized that I'd been disconnected, because there's not much to indicate whether you're connected or not. I was just getting on with talking, because at one level, you just got to trust the technology, haven't you? Because if you're constantly thinking about it, you can't do your job. The feeling of mortification when I thought, oh, I've just been talking to nobody. And then this abject panic of how do I get back in? I couldn't figure out how to get back, and I managed to navigate my way back in, at which point I found you sort of filling. Definitely at the thin end of filling.
Absolutely, yeah, I definitely run out of things to say within the first 30 seconds.
I remember picking up where I'd left off, but finding it really, really hard to kind of get back into the flow of it, because it was so disruptive kind of cognitively for me.
I think the interesting thing, though, is that we definitely set this up as an experiment, and mm-hmm. we did have a sense when we were planning it, is this something that might go wrong? Mm-hmm. So kind of the fact that it did go wrong, it kind of proved us right.
And I remember emailing you beforehand and saying, something might well go wrong with this, and whatever it is, it won't be what we expected. And that's exactly what happened. And in the end, we got through it. And I feel like it's kind of a demonstration that things go wrong and that's inevitable. And the question is, how do you pick it back up and, you know, get going again? And unlike being in the building and teaching or presenting, there's no shared perception of space, is there? So you're not, and I think this is the same for any online teaching really, is what you're seeing and what you're engaging in might be slightly different from what everybody else is.
I think it ties into one of the big things that I got out of your talk and then the blog post that kind of fed into it about this sense of presence and creating a sense of presence. I mean, I think that's something that I've really used as a real sort of central principle for the things that we've done in the meantime this last year. So a lot of things that we've been doing with the students this year have been really trying to emphasize that. So even simple things like when we're using text-based forums. So I did a session the other day, and I just at the start of it, I said, you know, everybody take a photograph out of their window. So we get all these photos coming in of, you know, shots out of the window in Leeds and kind of graffiti and rubbish and nice gardens. But, you know, you've instantly got this sense of everybody kind of feels connected. What sort of reaction has there been then to those sorts of principles that you laid out in that blog post? Have you had anything coming back to you where people have said, yeah, that we've kind of taken that on board and made use of it?
I think it helped reframe what we were up to for people. So, you know, when the pandemic started, there was this immediate feeling that we needed to keep those contact hours and keep the sessions, if you see what I mean, so that things just didn't vanish. And then I think through what I've heard off the back of that sort of presence idea is that it shifted the emphasis from how do I continue to get across the content in my course to how do I help people feel like they're part of something. We lost that sense of connection and belonging and presence. And I think people saw the value of really deliberately trying to engineer that back in, exactly as you say, through the kind of technique that you talked about, taking photos out of your window or whatever it might be. What I've subsequently gone on to think about is this idea of placemaking. To have a sense of presence, that needs to happen in a place, if you like. I think we lost all our places, didn't we? And Teams or Zoom or Collaborate or whatever it is, it's not fundamentally a place by default. We have to make it into a place through the way that we teach.
That's something that we really felt, because we're very studio based in our teaching as students. So the sense of the studio being the place where we all come together and learn, you know, alongside each other, and trying to recreate that. So, and it wasn't so much about kind of, we, you know, occasionally demo things, but it was more that we'd set this thing up and we'd do the projects that we'd set the students, and so they'd all be kind of working alongside each other, but they'd be able to kind of witness us just fiddling about. And yeah, so kind of open broadcast studio as well, we can combine all these different things together.
Yeah,
it was quite useful for getting that kind of multiple perspectives on your space. But the other really significant that we did, I think was almost more important, is that we decided to do team teaching. So it was always at least two tutors. And that conversation, that banter between people that knew each other, that was the most important thing, I think, that we did out of the whole period.
Yeah, it's very human. I mean, it creates the social presence, because there's a community of inquiry model that's all about presence, and it's got three elements to it. And there's social presence, teaching presence, and cognitive presence. I'm never quite sure what teaching presence is out of those three, but I think the social presence aspect of it is huge when you move online, because the buildings give you social presence for free, don't they? It's really interesting what you were doing with space there. And sometimes it's good just to, if you've got a webcam, it's just good to pick it up. Oh, look how untidy my room is. Yeah. And just move things around, so you're just not constantly staring at each other, which is one of the reasons it's exhausting. You've got a kind of creative and technical way of interpreting this and plugging all that, and you enjoy that kind of experimentation. In a way, the time it takes for you to set that up and experiment is fundamentally part of the fabric of your job. But I think for a lot of people, you know, setting up three webcams and your monitor set up was very, you know, Star Trek. For a lot of people, that is on top of the job as it's framed and as it's structured. And I think what's happened over the pandemic is people have done amazing work adapting. But it's all sort of extra on top of a normal day's work, isn't it? And so I think where we've got to at the moment is that people have adapted amazingly and learned tons, which has been sort of interesting in some ways, but it's also exhausting. And I think that's a big question now. How do we find ways out of the pandemic where we hold on to the stuff that works really well, but we put it into a kind of structure that isn't exhausting? What elements that have worked really well over the pandemic can we hold on to, and in a way that is sustainable?
I mean, I think one of the interesting observations was how certain students who weren't getting on very well in the kind of physical setup before the pandemic flourished in this online environment. So we've got some students who are quite introverted, but they're quite confident in those online platforms. At the same time, there are some students that really thrive in the physical environment. You know, they're going to get that back, hopefully not at the expense of the ones that suit the virtual kind of aspects as well. So it's about getting a balance between those two things.
We've now got this broader palette that we can choose from to allow students to engage in different ways in different modes. and different modes will be more amenable to different students in different ways. It's about being inclusive by using those different modes. And I think a positive way of looking at it for me is that the digital environment and the way that it's added those options has actually given our students more agency rather than less agency in terms of how they engage. The straight 100% face-to-face sort of course, even though they didn't really exist beforehand, we were very digital beforehand, but the predominantly face-to-face course has very particular modes of engaging, doesn't it? Very particular ways of engaging, which, as you say, suit certain people and not other people. And my most sort of positive interpretation of the digital stuff is that it's broadened what it means to do university. Without getting into specific techniques and practices, I think that's what I'd like to hold on to, is keeping that breadth.
Now, the idea of doing a tutorial on Teams doesn't seem that much different to doing it in, you know, in the office or in the studio or whatever. There are things like that where there are certain situations where that might make things easier rather than nightmare logistics of organising rooms and getting people in. You know, effectively, you can connect up with people much more instantly. On the back of us all being absolutely exhausted from all of this extra work that we've had to do, there might be some benefits from the things it's forced us to learn that might make things easier in the future.
I think the key to it for me is design of curriculum, design of the pedagogy of courses. If a chunk of learning, a course, a module, whatever chunk of it you want to talk about, if the flow of that is not designed in some detail, then I think it very quickly becomes a process of attempting to do all the things all the time. Whereas for me, the real art of it is, how do you have the learning flow, you know, into the digital, into the building, back into the digital, into the building, so that it kind of becomes greater than the sum of its parts. It's a question of reimagining in a really positive way from what we've learned. There's some stuff that I've seen from student feedback, which is that perhaps sometimes there's a conception of university that's very, very traditional. And so doing university is all the things that you do in the building, and all of the digital stuff is somehow not university. And I think that's something that we also need to sort of get beyond in terms of how we conceptualize university. But I do think that our students really, really see the value of some of the new things we've been sort of forced to do. But at this point, a lot of what we're doing doesn't feel quite like an emergency. There's a lot of things that we're doing that just feel like, oh, you know, that's just a good way of doing that, isn't it?
We've been talking a lot about this idea of the virtual studio. That sense of place, I think, has been dissolving anyway. And I think a lot of the things that we've had to do to maintain that sense of place and to spread it out, to blur it out into those virtual spaces, I think is something that was going to happen anyway, but it's just supercharged that.
Coming out of the pandemic, any course that focuses on presence and placemaking first, and then what do we need to get through in the curriculum second, is going to do really well. If you get the presence and placemaking design right, then everything else kind of flows from that. The students are going to want to engage, they're going to feel a sense of belonging, and they're going to have this more integral motivation to kind of get through the material, if you want to look at it that way. How do we continue to make the place of the university and facilitate students to be present in that place?
Idea of place not being a physical location, but something that facilitates connection between people. And the really key thing for me in that, I suppose, as an educator, is that when you've got that trying to facilitate that connection between people, that sense of kindness and caring and those more sort of interpersonal things, which you've got to kind of get established before that content stuff starts to happen. I heard a really great thing the other day, which was, people are not going to care how much you know until they know how much you care. But I think until you make that connection with people, until you've got that sense of presence and you've got that sense of place, actually all that content stuff just kind of bounces off. The relationship of a virtual spaces, physical spaces, I think really that's one of the things that we're really thinking about. If it's in order to facilitate that connection and that sense of feeling like they're in a place, whether it's a studio or some sort of virtual equivalent.
I think that's a good place for us to wrap up our conversation, actually, because I think just because it's a very positive way of framing the kind of the road ahead, if if you like, because it is kind of a bit of a foggy road still. So it's, I think it's really useful to be equipped with some sort of straightforward principles to operate on. Otherwise, I genuinely think we risk emergency mode being the mode, you know. Yeah. So you need those strong principles, don't you, to ensure that that doesn't happen.
I mean, I think just as a sort of final reflection on your keynote last year, the thing that I extracted out of it was just this shorthand of, I've got to think about presence. And then that really helped me out when I was getting stuck. Okay. I think this thing about placemaking, which I haven't spent as much time thinking about, is like another interesting shorthand that I'll take forward now into this post-pandemic planning. If I can just remember those two words out of all the things that you said, then you've done me a favour.
Listen to more in our podcast series, click on the subscribe button. And to keep up to date with the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University, follow us on Twitter at Leeds Beckett CLT. Thank you for tuning in.